New music here on BBC Hereford and Worcester. Hello, I'm Donna Alos, looking after things for Tammy. And tomorrow sees the 50th anniversary of the release of the Beatles' White Album, much of which was recorded in an ashram in India, where the Beatles had gone to meditate. A lady who knows all about life in the ashram and who can tell us a few stories about what life was like for the Beatles while they were there is Susan Shimsky. Susan's latest book is called Maharishi and Me and tells of her time with the Beatles' spiritual guru. Susan has joined me on the phone from America. Susan, first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been practicing meditation and other spiritual disciplines for 50 years. I spent 22 years in the ashram. Ashram is a place where you go to study with a spiritual master from India, by the way. I spent 22 years in the ashrams of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was the guru of the Beatles. And also, I spent 6 years on his personal staff. So I spent quite a lot of my life dedicated to meditation and to spiritual studies. Yeah, I have 14 books in print as well.
Now, Obviously, talking about the Beatles, we all know that the Beatles were very spiritual. Tell us a little bit about their relationship with your guru.
Well, they met him on August 24th, 1967, at the Park Hotel Hilton in London. And they were very favorably impressed because they had been seeking spiritual awakening. In fact, all of us were back then, those of us who were anti-war and all of that. And the Beatles were on that same kind of path that I was. And they expressed to Maharishi backstage after the lecture that they had been seeking spiritual awakening, but they had tried to do it through LSD and that didn't really work out for them. And Maharishi said that it was laudable that the youth of today are trying to have spiritual experiences, but they are definitely misdirected by thinking they're going to get it through LSD. So he invited them to learn meditation, and they went with him on a train to Bangor, North Wales, to go to a meditation retreat, which was a 10-day retreat. And unfortunately, they did learn meditation there, but unfortunately, they only spent 2 days there because on August 27th, Brian Epstein died, and they had to come back to London suddenly.
Okay, and how did their relationship progress? Because they did go out to the ashram, didn't they, in India?
Yes. After that, they were very keen on meditation after they learned it. And as a matter of fact, John suggested that they go on tour to, quote-unquote, turn on everyone to transcendental meditation. So they were extremely thrilled with the experiences they were having. And then Maharishi invited them to come to India, to Rishikesh, where he was teaching a teacher training course starting in January. And they ended up coming to Rishikesh. They actually began arriving on February 16th. That's when George and John arrived. And then Ringo and Paul arrived 3 days later on the 19th of February, 1968.
And how was life for them in the ashram? Because obviously very different to the sort of glitz and glamour that they were accustomed to.
Well, they had a wonderful break from Beatlemania. It was really the only time that they were able to really relax and to not be bothered by the press and all of that. So it was a very creative period for them. And they said they wrote about 40 songs, although John claimed that he wrote hundreds of songs. He said it was just pouring out of him. He said there was a big brass band in his head, and he was going hummity, hummity in his mind, and all these songs were just coming out. So they wrote the White Album when they were in Rishikesh. Almost all the White Album was written there. So very creative.
Okay, and obviously the cover of the White Album is very different to the sort of very colourful, crazy album covers that they'd done in the past. What's the reason for that?
You know, Paul McCartney asked the cover designer, his name is Hamilton, who was a famous pop artist at the time, and he said to him, we want something that's very different from the kind of day glow colours on Sgt. Pepper. And so he created this minimalist style of this White Album. I might add that Donovan, who was in India with them, there were several celebrities in India with the Beatles, And Donovan claims that, in fact, he gave them the idea. He said that Beatles are so famous that the next album you do, you don't have to put any picture or anything on the cover. It can just be plain white.
Well, it makes perfect sense. Author Susan Shimsky will be hearing some more from her in a little bit. First of all, though, a song from the White Album, The Beatles, Obladi Oblada. Hot chocolate, it started with a kiss. It's BBC Hereford and Worcester, and tomorrow sees the 50th anniversary of the release of the Beatles' White Album, much of which was recorded in an ashram in India, where the Beatles had gone to meditate. A lady who knows all about life in the ashram and who's telling us a few stories about what life was like for the Beatles while they were there is Susan Shimsky. Now, I asked Susan how the Beatles were guided through their time in the ashram when they were there looking for something very spiritual.
You know, we were all in that same boat, so I can say with great certainty, because I also went to Rishikesh, although I went there at a different time. I was on the very last course that Maharishi taught, which was in 1970. I was there for 6 months at that time. And I can say that it was a very profound experience to be in that atmosphere in Rishikesh, which is a holy place in India, and to study with this amazing spiritual master. My experience of Maharishi was he was the happiest person I ever met. He was extremely charismatic, and so charismatic, it was almost to the point of being hypnotic. When I was there, I just reveled in the knowledge and the wisdom and everything that I was learning. Not only that, but the deeply profound spiritual experiences. And the Beatles expressed the similar feelings. They had wonderful experiences, deep experiences, and it was very life-transforming for them to be with Maharishi, and they were greatly influenced by Maharishi. The lyrics of their songs, tremendously influenced by Maharishi from the first they met him. For example, Across the Universe, they wrote that even before they went to India. It was actually released right before they went to India, and that song is about meditation experiences, and in the song they use the term Jai Guru Deva. One of Maharishi's expressions that he used like dozens of times a day, instead of saying hello or goodbye, he would say Jai Guru Dev, Jai Guru Dev, Jai Guru Dev. So what that means is hail to the divine preceptor, hail to the divine teacher. And it's a common expression in India, and it refers to Maharishi's guru, being Gurudev, being the great teacher. And he would always give praise to his teacher.
Okay, so obviously lots of the lyrics and lots of the songs influenced by their time at the ashram. But how did their relationship end? Was it a fond farewell, or did it end in controversy?
Oh, it ended in tremendous controversy. But it was different for each Beatle. So Ringo, he only stayed for 10 days because he had had childhood peritonitis, and he had brought an entire suitcase of Heinz beans with him. But I guess still he was having trouble with his stomach, and also his wife was terrified of insects. At one point, just one fly kept her hostage for 4 hours until Richie could come back and kill every insect and dispose of the carcasses. And also they were missing their babies. In fact, one of their babies was only 6 months old, so they really wanted to get back to London. So they didn't stay very long. There was also a little controversy about some eggshells that happened. But Paul McCartney, now he was there for 5 weeks, and he had to go back to London because he had come with Jane Asher. That was his girlfriend at the time, and she had a theatrical commitment in London, so they had to go back. So John and George were the ones that stayed for 2 months. And they left for three reasons. They left in a huff and very angry, very disillusioned. And they left for three different reasons. And one of those reasons had to do with a film deal gone south. Maharishi had promised Apple Corps, which was their company, an exclusive contract to film Maharishi and to do a film on transcendental meditation. But unfortunately, Maharishi made the same promise to someone else. And the Forest Star Productions lawyer showed up in the ashram in Rishikesh with a signed contract that gave exclusive rights to film Maharishi for the next 5 years. And one morning, John Lennon opened the door to his bungalow in Rishikesh, and standing in front of him in the courtyard was a cameraman and a director who yelled, "Action!" So John and George were absolutely livid when they found out about this other film deal and, you know, that this had been signed behind their backs, and now they were supposed to be two-bit players in someone else's film. So they refused to leave their rooms.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. Singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
From the White Album then, the Beatles and Blackbird on BBC Hereford and Worcester. Donna Alos looking after things for Tammy. Guess the Intro on the way after about 20 past three. So get your thinking caps on. Before that, the amazing voice of Paloma Faith and New York. Eurythmics, It's All Right, it's BBC Hereford and Worcester. And as we've been chatting about this afternoon, tomorrow sees the 50th anniversary of the release of the Beatles' White Album, much of which was recorded in an ashram in India, where the Beatles had gone to meditate. I've been speaking to author Susan Shimsky, who spent time in the same ashram. And I asked Susan about some of the tracks on the White Album which were written there.
Dear Prudence, won't you come out to play?
And that was about Amia Farrow's sister, Prudence Farrow. They had come to the ashram with Maharishi, and Prudence had been abusing drugs and alcohol as a teenager, and in fact had gone to a mental institution for some time. And then she ended up at the ashram. And when she was there, she was very devoted to meditation. She would not leave her room, not eat, not drink. So everyone started to get concerned about her. Maharishi told John and George to look in on her. And in fact, she remembers them bursting into her room, singing Obla-Dee Obla-Da and singing Sergeant Pepper. And she thought they were sweet, but she just wanted them to disappear so she could go back into meditation and silence. Unfortunately, she had a serious mental breakdown, and she was having terrifying LSD flashbacks. But Maharishi nursed her back to health just by having her come to his bungalow each day, and she was also getting some massages from a massage therapist. And Maharishi just paid attention to her and had her do yoga exercises. He was giving her some attention, and she just came back, and then she was fine and very responsive and became very happy. And then at the end of their stay in Rishikesh, George told Prudence that John had written this song, Dear Prudence, for her. So even though she didn't hear it when they were there, she heard it later when the album came out, and she was very pleased that they hadn't made fun of her. She was afraid that it was not going to be a nice song, but it's a very sweet song about her, so she was very happy about that. Everyone's Got Something to Hide Except Me and My Monkey. That song was written by John, and it includes these phrases that Maharishi used to always say. He would say, come on, or come on, come. When he wanted someone to meet with him, he would say that. And he would also say, take it easy, take it as it comes. That was his favorite expression. So these words were direct quotes from Maharishi that he used in that song. And John also said that the monkey was Yoko Ono. Revolution is another song that they wrote when they were in India. And that's an anti, you know, Vietnam War song. But it has a much deeper meaning than that. And that is that Maharishi had this philosophy: for the forest to be green, the trees must be green. For the world to be at peace, the people or all the individuals must be at peace. So his idea was to create peace on earth through a grassroots kind of program where he would teach as many people as possible to meditate. And if they meditated, especially in large groups together, this would create vibrations of peace. Peace would overtake the earth. And in fact, he proved his theory through doing scientific studies. He would send hundreds of people to crime-ridden areas and to war-torn areas. And if they meditated in large groups together, the area became more peaceful. Crime rate went down. Wars subsided, or at least took a vacation for some time. So that was the real meaning of that song, Revolution.
Fascinating information there, Susan.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. Well, you are the author of Maharishi and Me, 14 books in print. Thank you so much for talking to us today on BBC Hereford and Worcester. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I enjoyed speaking with you.